there was a time in my life before I came to this practice when I was going through a period of strife, suffering, difficulty, when I was looking for a way out of my difficulty. And this is late 80s, early 90s, very early 90s. I was trying different spiritual paths, and at some point I came to the Buddhist teachings. Actually, the first time I came to the Buddhist teachings was through a friend of mine who gave me, or let me borrow this book. This isn't his, I gave it back to him. The Way of Zen by Alan Watts. You know, when I first started doing this practice, there really weren't many books about the Buddha's teachings available, you know, 25, 30 years ago. Certainly there were very few books on insight meditation. There were some Tibetan books, some Zen books. But in any case, this was the first book that I had ever read. Really, it was my introduction. And, you know, sounds like I'm making it up, I guess, but it was like, you know, when I read the first paragraph, I had this real deep feeling that, you know, something I was hearing here really resonated with me, and like, this is what I was looking for. And something, I just remember that so clearly, and I had that feeling, and it was like, oh, this is it. This is what I was looking for. And Alan Watts says at the beginning here, the first paragraph of the book, Zen Buddhism is a way and a view of life which does not belong to any of the formal categories of modern Western thought. It is not a religion or a philosophy. It is not a psychology or a type of science. It is an example of what is known in India and China as a way of liberation. So, again, that spoke to me so much because I really wasn't looking for a religion. I was looking for a way out of my suffering and a way to happiness, a way to freedom. I was looking for a way out. I was looking for a path, a way of life. I was looking for a way of life. I had a sense, and that's why that passage resonated with me, that certainly the way of life that I had been living was not the way of life that I wanted to be living. And I had a sense of wanting to change the way I was living. So, you know, what I came to be struck with here and what I came to learn and understand that, you know, the Buddhist path is, as Watts said, it's not a religion, it's a way of life, it's a way of living, it's a way of liberation, a way of finding freedom. That spoke to me, a way of liberation, a way of finding freedom. And one way that I understood my life and what I wanted my life to be, and the kind of path that I wanted to follow, what it would be informed by, was I wanted a more meaningful life. I wanted a meaningful life. I wanted a life that was certainly more meaningful than the life that I had. So, the Buddha's teachings offer a way of living. We talk so much about, you know, if you want to understand some element of the Buddha's teaching, it's useful to understand its counterpoise, to understand what the Buddha's teaching isn't. You know, certainly for me, it was, you know, I was living a certain way, just as the Buddha was living a certain way. The Buddha had a certain kind of life. I had a certain kind of life, and I wanted to find something else. And, you know, the way the Buddha was living and the way I was living, you know, the way he taught, the way that he spoke to that, and certainly the way that I perceived that, was the life that I was living was informed by what we sometimes call the ways of the world. I was living basically in the way that I had seen everybody else living, you know, the way that most people were living, dare I say. You know, I mean, I think, I don't know that I, at a certain point, even understood, and it's still in a process of understanding, that there's a different way to live, and that the Buddha's path is a different way to live. And, you know, we talk about the ways of the world and the ways that most people live. The Buddha called it the ways of the world. And we talk about it a lot and what it comprises. But I think a good way, for me at least, to understand it is a way of living in which we look for happiness in material things. Okay? It's a way of living in which we look for happiness in material things. So it's a way of life in which we put a good amount of emphasis and priority into making money, so that we can have a certain kind of life in which we have the benefit of certain material things. If it's, you know, where we're living and what we have in the places that we're living in, etc., etc. The different means of entertainment that we have in the places that we're living in, or all the different aspects and trappings of that material life. So this life in which, you know, it certainly was the life that I was living in the corporate world. You know, making money, doing work that was meaningless so that I could have a certain kind of place to live and have certain kinds of possessions and clothes and et cetera, et cetera. And I never really wanted to live that way, but, you know, I got caught up with the ways of the world and I didn't really have, in my naivete, I mean, I didn't understand that there were other ways to live, or I wasn't aware of other paths. Or to the extent that I was aware of another way that I might have wanted to live, I didn't have the courage, I didn't have the wherewithal to attempt to live in another way. But I remember quite distinctly, you know, when I was graduating college in the mid-70s, and, because that's kind of a point when you kind of decide, well, what am I going to do? And it was like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. You know, it's like I could see people, some people were, you know, going to graduate school, law school, whatever. People were getting jobs, you know, in the corporate world or whatever. People were, you know, taking the steps necessary to live this particular kind of life. And it was like, I mean, I had a very strong feeling like, this is not what I want to be doing. You know, this is not what I want to be doing. You know, and it took me even a while, you know, it took me several months before, but I didn't know what I wanted to do, and it took me several months before, you know, I got a corporate job, because, again, I didn't know anything else. I didn't know what else I could do. The Buddha's path is sometimes called a middle path. I mean, that means certain things, but one of the things that it means is that it's a path in which we understand that we need certain things in life. You know, that there's certain requisites for living. We don't deny that. It's not an ascetic path. So we don't deny that we need food to fuel the body, we need clothing, and we need shelter, And we need medicine. Those are considered the basic requisites. Food, clothing, shelter, medicine. In our culture, in order to acquire those things, unless you came into an inheritance or something, you know, in our culture generally, in order to acquire those things, we get a job so that we can make money so that we can acquire food, clothing, shelter, medicine. So, you know, we need a certain amount of money, let's say. We need a certain amount of material things. You know, and so the question is, like, how much do we need? How much do we need? Well, you know, if you're a monk, you make a decision that I need very little, you know, and I'm going to live that kind of a life. But for most of us, we're not monks. You know, we've had one person in this group who became a monk, another person who's been living at Mark Metta for many years now, 3 or 4 years. But most of us are not monks. We live in the world. We live in this world where we're required to have a certain amount of money so that we can afford basic requisites. So, you know, the question for us, you know, it's a very interesting question. How much do we need? How much do we need? This is something that, you know, my Dharma friends and I, a number of years ago, used to talk about a lot. You know, how much do we need? How much do I need? How much money do I need? How much do I need in terms of material things? I mean, tonight we're going to go through our financial report for this group, and you know, I try to live in a way that emulates that question, or attempts to answer that question in a way that includes, you know, the things that I need. And, you know, I've decided, the group's decided, that this is kind of what I need, how much I need. And then, of course, you know, it's really up to the group if they want to support that, you know, but the group needs to know what I need so that I can survive as a teacher. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to teach the classes, and I'd have to go do something else. It came very close to me doing that a couple of years ago, and that's why we started this, more than 10 years ago now, we started this way of doing things. So, the questions, you know, and that was sort of one incident or one way that, you know, in my life, I decided to answer that question, you know, and that is a fluid thing that may change over time. I wasn't going to talk about this, but, you know, I mean, what I accrue in terms of money is a lot less than what I was making when I was in the corporate world, when I left that corporate world almost 20 years ago, 1998. I was making a lot more than what's accounted for on that budget. So that was a decision that I made. You know, and of course my situation may be different than other people's, in that, you know, when I made that decision, I didn't have a partner. I might have had a partner, but I didn't have a wife, I didn't have children, that kind of a thing, which people always need to take into account. So this question, how much do we need? So this is a question that, as people who are following this path, you know, which is essentially a path in which we have, you know, it's a countercultural path, as my teacher says, you know, in following this path, you know, this is, well, there's a couple of questions that, you know, are part of this process of following this path. Well, we could start with this basic question, how much do we need? And I guess, you know, I kind of jotted down some corollary questions to that, you know, are we willing to relinquish the effort to have more than what we need? Or are we willing to relinquish the effort that we need to make in order to have what we need? Or what we think we need, or what we want? Are we willing to relinquish what we have that we have a sense or an understanding that we don't need? Now, or to what extent are we willing to relinquish, you know, making the effort to get more or to get or to maintain what we have? To what extent are we willing to relinquish what we have if we decide we don't need as much as what we have? So these are questions that are, you know, integral to the path. They're questions that we ask because we need to understand what we need to do in order to alleviate suffering and find happiness. And the Buddha said the best way to do that would be just, you know, live as a monk and decide that you don't need very much so that you can dedicate yourself to alleviating suffering and finding happiness. Of course, understanding or having faith that the way to happiness isn't through following the ways of the world, but instead through the training of the mind and finding the happiness that's inside of ourselves. The drawbacks of the material life, living the material life, of following the ways of the world, in the way that, you know, many of us, most of us, maybe not all of us who are here, but, you know, sort of this way that people live, you know, the drawbacks of that are that, you know, we become preoccupied. You know, that becomes our life. We become preoccupied with, you know, making money and getting material things. And, you know, we're preoccupied with it to the extent that we're not able to put the time and effort into developing the path. We're not able to put the time and the effort into being present, into being in the body, into being connected to our innate wisdom and being connected to our heart. So this is sort of the, you know, kind of the question. Now, of course, it takes time to realize that and understand that, you know, but, you know, the more and more we realize that, you know, we have an innate wisdom inside of ourselves and we have a heart that can guide us toward fulfilling our wish to be happy, you know, more and more we ask, well, what do I need to do in the service of being able to cultivate my innate wisdom and my heart? And, you know, what the teaching suggests, what the path, way the path has been followed over time is that, you know, we need to kind of practice some degree of renunciation or simplicity in order to be able to do the things that are asked of us in this practice, in order to really find the kind of happiness that the path offers us. So sort of like, you know, what is our priority? You know, because the effort that goes into living a certain way really precludes us from, or the degree to which we're putting time and effort into following the ways in the world is going to be directly in correspondence to, you know, the amount of time and effort that we're not able to put into the practice. The more time and effort we're able to put into training the mind, into connecting our wisdom, into connecting into the heart, you know, the more we'll be able to do that. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, we want it all. Now, the other thing, of course, is that, you know, and I alluded to that in what I've said, that, you know, if when you're following the ways of the world, you know, and I'm not going to go into a chapter and verse, it causes a lot of stress. It causes a lot of agitation, you know, and it blocks us off from being in the present moment, from being in the body, from being connected to our wisdom and being connected to our hearts. That's why we go on retreats, right? You know, we go on retreat so like for 7 days I can get away from all of that and no books and no, you know, Walkman or shows you where I am in terms of no smartphones, you know. And then, you know, well, maybe for this 7 days I can start to get a little bit more connected to the present moment, a little bit more in my body, and a little bit more connected to my wisdom and a little bit more connected to my heart. And lo and behold, that always happens. You know, and then we go back to the world and people say, oh, I lost all that. You know, what happened? Well, you went back into the world and you went back into doing all the things that you were doing and you're dealing with all the stress that comes from doing that. You know? So, you know, I mean, being on retreat is like being a monk. You know, we've decided we're not going to be monks, so we're not going to, you know, spend our time in that retreat mode all the time. You know, and you know, what we have to learn to do is, or understand is, how can we live in the world but not follow the ways of the world? Because when you're on retreat, you're not really in the world. You're taking a step back from the world. It's one of the reasons why, you know, the kinds of retreats that I've done over the years, silent retreats, you know, aren't what the monks really do. You know, they don't do silent retreats. And, you know, and I've come to see over the years that, you know, silent retreats have a value, but they're probably the least important thing in terms of the different modalities that we use here in terms of making an effort to train the mind and find true happiness. Because ultimately, we need to do that in the world. You know, that little bit of renunciation that we do on that week that we go away, you know, I mean, that's to some extent artificial. You know, the real question is, how can we live in a way in which we are, you know, asking this question, what do I need? How can we live in a way where there's enough simplicity and renunciation in our lives so that we can find the happiness that we want in this life, if that's what we want? You know, and I mean, this is not a popular discussion to have. You know? It's sort of like the elephant in the room, you know? It's not a popular discussion because we don't want to give up our stuff, you know? I mean, I know I don't. I mean, I know it's a huge struggle for me, you know? It's a huge struggle for me. You know, do I want to relinquish these material things? I've relinquished a certain amount. What I can see in my own life is that, you know, I mean, I understand more and more what it is to be free and what is required in order to be able to, you know, live a way in which I'm following a path of liberation. And, you know, more and more I understand that, you know, simplicity, renunciation is integral to that. And I need to give up more, you know? I need to have less. I don't need as much as I have. But I don't want to give up what I have. You know, I feel like I've already given up enough. You know, so it's kind of this push and pull. You know, I think we're all kind of in that struggle to some extent. You know, and I've been kind of talking about a little bit, because I've talked about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and I've said, you know, I kind of started speaking to this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I don't even know if I should talk about this stuff, because I think people get, you know, their backs up when we start talking about it. Nobody really wants to talk about it. Can we just talk about, you know, dependent origination or something, you know? It's like, I feel, we don't want to hear this, you know? And, you know, so to some extent, I'm afraid to talk about it because I feel like people don't want to hear it. But these are important questions, important things to think about. You know, of course, it's a question for us of what our path is and where we're going. You know, I mean, there's a lot of gray area, if you will, between Wall Street and Metta Forest Monastery. You know, there's a lot of gray area in there. There's a continuum between Wall Street and Metta Forest Monastery. It's sort of like, where do you want to be on that continuum? But if we want, you know, if we want some benefit from the path, then perhaps what we need to do is just give up some of our material life, or shift our life some, or maybe just a little. If we want the greatest benefit the path can offer, you know, then we have to really ask these questions and really consider, you know, how much we need. Really start asking the questions, are we willing to stop making an effort to get more stuff and put that effort into the path? Are we willing to give up some of the stuff we have? You know, I'm qualifying this, but it's important to qualify it. And I always talk about this, you know, it's like, I hope nobody hears this talk and decides either, well, I hope they nobody hears this talk and decides, well, I can't do this practice because of what he said. And then, and even more so, I hope nobody hears this talk and calls Metta Forest Monastery tomorrow and tells John Jeff they want to be a monk, you know? It's a process. You know, it's a process. Most of us aren't going to get to the mountaintop, I mean, to Forest Mountaintop as a monk or a nun. So, as I always say, you know, it's well, maybe I put a little bit. Maybe what I decide is that I don't need quite as much. I'm able to, you know, live a life in which I don't have quite as much. So it's sort of like how much. How much, if we want to kind of move forward, as we understand that, you know, that's a question that we need to ask in order to move forward. You know, and you know, part of, you know, what we come up against is, well, what's the point? I mean, I'm never going to really pull down from the tree the fruits of this practice. So what's the big deal, you know? Why should I even be asking these questions? I'm not going to find the kind of happiness that he's talking about or the kind of freedom that he's talking about. I'm not going to be able to connect into my body and my wisdom and my heart. That's Mara. You know, to that I say bullshit. You know? I think those things are eminently possible for everyone here. Eminently possible. Eminently possible. They're actually a lot closer than we think they are. But it requires making certain decisions. It requires making a commitment to a certain way of living. And of course, we can move little by slowly towards that way of living by considering these questions about that revolve around how much do we need. So, you know, as always, Dharma talks are food for thought. No pun intended. You know, this is the kind of food that you probably need. You know, they're food for thought, and you know, what we're asked to do is ask questions. And that's what the Buddha did. He asked questions, you know. This is the way I'm living. Is there possibly another way? He found the other way. Now, of course, you have to understand that and believe that for yourself. So we don't have to kind of do that work. Our question is, how am I living, and do I want to follow that way, that path of liberation? As always, it's up to you to do as you see fit.